And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh! This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper, joined by Jay King, Wozni Lambert, Trevon Edwards, Dave Dufour, and of course Jade Hoy producing. And we've got a new game to play, guys, that I have two names for, which we will decide on in a little bit. For that, we have some Shaq shade, and we have some Marvin Bagley Jr. shade. Trey, I'll do dealer's choice here. What would you like to pick first, Shaq shade or Bagley Jr. shade?
I'm going with Bagley Jr.
All right.
For 5,000, Zach.
So for 5,000 somethings, Marvin Bagley Jr., who is the father of Marvin Bagley III, that's how that sequence works, tweeted to the Sacramento Kings, please trade Marvin Bagley III out of Sacramento ASAP, which is... normally, like, I don't know, it's kind of funny to me, but at the same time, this is a Kings organization that is not that good. They're trying hard. They're 3-3. They lose 2 to Houston. Bagley's been okay. So the team's been okay. It's a solid start, and what should be a solid start, because they do have a lot of, like, good moments, a couple of wins over Denver early on this season, right? I think their 3 losses are to Phoenix and then Houston twice. Like, the Kings should be feeling good, but Trey, this is a distraction. This is a distraction the Kings maybe aren't good enough to just overcome easily, right? Not that they can't overcome it, but can't overcome easily. And it reminds me a little bit of, it's a little LaVar Ball-esque, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, I was just about to say that. I mean, to this point, you don't want your family members getting involved with your workplace. I mean, your mom's not going to show up to the Athletic and tell them, hey, you need to put my son's article up front on the front page of the app. You know what I'm saying? So in this particular situation, obviously, though, he's voicing his opinion. It is a bad look. And then obviously Bagley III going into the interview saying, I'm answering every question only about tomorrow's game and only basketball. I would have just said, well, regarding tomorrow, you know, what's up about your pop's tweets? You know what I'm saying? About you going out, you know what I mean? And followed up with it, because, you know what I mean? Like, those are the type of conversations you need to have with those people and tell them, you know, give them a gag order.
Right.
Because it's a bad look.
It is a bad look. I mean, like, you know, I know Trey Burke's family had some stuff with the Jazz when Trey Burke was on the team and everything. And when he got moved, you know, Jay, I'm, you know, Trey brings up a great point. Should my mom be haggling the Athletic to get me better placement on the front page?
Nah, she should be telling the Athletic that they shouldn't even put your articles anywhere near the front page.
Oh, you sound like a power rankings commenter.
She, no, but I just think this adds another level of scrutiny that Bagley just doesn't need. He's still trying to find his way in the NBA. It's not like he's done anything of substance. He's barely been able to stay on the court. And now his father is chirping the organization. He's basically no commenting questions about it. It's just something he doesn't need, something the Kings don't need. And it feels like something always happens to the Kings like this. Like, it was Buddy Hield disgruntled all last season. Now it's the whole Bagley family's stepping up. I wish for Marvin Bagley III that his father had just kept his mouth shut and let things be easier on his son as he kind of tries to make his way in the NBA.
Dave,
can we talk about the elephant in the room, though?
What's that, Luka?
The Kings would be pumped if they felt like they could trade Marvin Bagley for something worthwhile, right? Like,
no, you can't punt. Like, I know,
come on,
I know it wasn't Monty
McNair's. What are you trying to do?
I know it wasn't Monty McNair's pick, but you can't punt that early, can you?
Sure, why not?
I mean, you
got a contract extension coming up.
That's true.
In a year. That guy played 13 games last year after playing, you know, only 62 his rookie year.
About like 20.
Right. You're right. It's just not a great start for him. It's not like he's setting the world on fire. The guy is a big and he's shooting sub 40% in the 2-point area on the season. Like, let's work on the game and then, you know, then worry about trade demands. But yeah, his dad's way out of line. Definitely gave him a lot of problems that the guy doesn't need.
So he's got problems of his own.
Wait, real quick. Trey just sent this to the chat. J.E. Skeets tweeted out a Jason Jones article excerpt in which it said, when Yeager, former Kings coach Dave Yeager, misspoke and referred to Bagley III as Motown legend Marvin Gaye in a game at Detroit, Bagley Jr. began to refer to Yeager as Yogurt as a way of saying his last name wrong. What's happening with Marvin Come Bagley on, Jr.?
So this is where I generally roll my eyes when people be like, oh, the player empowerment might be getting out of control and blah, 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 blah. And it's not so much that Bagley is empowered to do anything, right? Like, you're under contract. You're not going anywhere. And this is like a Kev Love special where you're like requesting to be traded, but you're not playing well enough to be wanted by anybody. Right. And so it's just like, what has Marvin Bagley done in this league to say, I need to be traded because this team is failing me? Like, at what point is
he's getting outplayed by Rashawn Holmes, bro?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, at what point have you ever not failed this team?
Hold on. Let me ask a question, Dave. Are the Kings putting him in a position to succeed? Because to be fair, like, I don't think Bagley's playing well, but it is the Kings, right? Like, it could be they're
mutually. Well, you just said it, though.
They could be mutually screwing each other.
This is so far, right? It is early.
Yeah.
But this is really competitive basketball that they're playing. Even the games they lost, I mean, they were in it.
Yeah.
This is clearly a different team. They seem to be a little bit more cohesive. They've got better players.
I wouldn't say clearly a different team. I don't know about that. I don't think this team's very good.
They have better players. They have some talent, right? De'Aaron Fox probably got better. Tyrese Halliburton is a competent NBA player. six games into his career, Bagley is not as good, right? Like, you're not seeing him kind of rise with the rest of them. That's legitimate. Rashawn Holmes is outplaying him, like Trey just said. But again, it's not the player that said anything. I kind of feel bad for him, right?
Right.
Like, he didn't do it.
I think he handled it well, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I give him a lot of credit for that because he's got issues of his own. As of right now, I mean, think about the top five of that draft, and he went number 2. That's already a lot of pressure.
Yeah. And he's the worst of the five.
I do think there's something to be said for the fact that the Kings haven't really put him in a position to succeed.
Absolutely.
And like this year, I think he's pretty clearly a center in today's NBA, and they're starting him next to Rashawn Holmes. And because Holmes can't shoot or do much of anything on the perimeter, like, it's on Bagley to make that fit and to be the guy who spaces out sometimes and works on other parts of his game where really, like, he was a top five pick. Usually organizations do what they can to put those guys in positions to succeed. It doesn't feel like they've ever really done that for Marvin Bagley. And granted, he hasn't really stayed on the court at all. And they've had a lot of other issues to kind of try to figure out. And I don't know if him at center can defensively work at all, but like, they just haven't really tried him as much in the way that he'll probably be best. And so I understand why his father's frustrated. I don't think his father should be tweeting trade requests or anything like that, but I do get from Bagley's perspective that he's kind of been the one who's had to squeeze out parts of his game and they haven't really tried to maximize him.
Yeah,
the most killer part was that the dad deleted the tweet and then followed up with retweeting everybody else that screen capped it. Yep.
I love
He's
that
a
move.
Legend.
That is
a
actually
legend,
that's such a great
that's
great
a, that's
move.
A new one for me.
It's the equivalent of when. It's the quote of the Rick James story. He's like, I got more sense to be digging my feet into his couch. Yeah, I remember digging my feet into his couch.
as the
I think it's tough for Bagley because he, you know, last year was a wasted year, right? Like, he wasn't healthy. He plays 13 games. They have the pandemic. You know, everything complete. It's a complete waste of a year. I don't know what you should expect from him then coming into this year, better than what he's done. But I don't know. Like, I feel like everyone's kind of screwed here because it's the Kings. And until the Kings prove otherwise, like, that's usually the situation they find themselves in, is being screwed.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, it's not like he's playing bad. Like, he's not bad at all. And the lineups that he's in are performing well. So clearly the stuff that he's doing is at least not hurting. Right. And he's still grabbing 8 rebounds a game. Like, there, maybe the expectations for what he ought to be because he was a second pick are a little bit, you know, wrong as to what he's going to be as a player. But clearly he's an NBA player. It's just, this is his third year and he really hasn't shown anything. I can't imagine.
Man, I don't know.
I
thought he was really good as a rookie.
Rookie year, yeah. Right. He showed a lot
of
energy.
And then last year's a wasted year. And then, you know, a week and a half into this one, he's a disaster. I mean, right.
We don't have to say it like it's a funeral or it's the end of his career. Pops put the phone down.
it's actually his dad's issue than it is his issue. Like, he can bounce back and have a great week and his numbers look good, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's go to the Shaq shade. Shaq on the All Things Covered podcast said this about Rudy Gobert and his new $205 million contract. I'm not going to hate, but this should be an inspiration to all the little kids out there. You average 11 points in the NBA, you can get $200 million.
You know someone's going to hate so hard when they start off with, I'm not going to hate.
No disrespect, but.
No disrespect, but this guy's a bum.
Backhanded compliments are great.
They are. They're the best.
I love them.
They're
the best.
Oh, boy.
So Jazz fans were pissed at this. And of course. I know it doesn't work this way, but my thought then always ends up being, if you're good with Rudy getting the $205 million as a Jazz fan, why do you care that Shaq is throwing shade here? Now, I'm trying to be too pragmatic, which becomes
right.
You know, not pragmatic at all. But I do, like, I don't know. It's funny to me that Jazz fans will get mad at this if they're cool with the contract. But I also look at it like this,
Zach. Shaq's probably played defense 2-3 years out of his career, like, really hard and really intentionally, and doesn't understand the pay scale of how guys get paid. That's what I'm saying.
Like, it seems like a
that's
like
the
a
thing.
Generational
you have to look
thing,
at it
right?
like yeah. even my comment about Gobert about getting a $200 million. I never said that he wasn't good at defense or that he isn't in a situation to earn that. I just wouldn't pay him that much for it. Because he's by far, you know, and Dave can follow up with this on a statistical point, probably one of the best at it. You know what I'm saying? So Shaq has to understand that, you know what I mean, that it's not points per game. And I think that's just casual fan in general. When you see a guy like something rolled out today about Spencer, I said Spencer Dinwiddie was very valuable and missed. And someone said that in 3 games, he only scored 20 points.
Saw that, yeah.
That's not the point. It's the right. other right. thing. Right. Like, it's not even about the point you're playing with.
And Trey, as we know, he's only played those 3 games in his career. So, you know, that's a good sample size to go off.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's really a novice understanding of the game. And, I mean, we know what Shaq is doing, right? Like, that's a
but
bit. It's a good bit.
I don't
bit.
Think
it's a, funny
it's a novice understanding of the game, though, Dave. Honestly, like, being a dominant defender is not as valuable as being a dominant offensive player.
Oh, no, 100%. But also, I'm talking CBA and salary cap, too, right? Because that influences – but that influences him getting that max contract, right? Like, is he a max player on the open market where there are no – no. But for the Utah Jazz in the position that they're in and with his importance to their team and wanting to make the playoffs and, you know, hopefully be top 4 in the West, yeah, absolutely. That's it.
Dave, I was going to instantly agree with you on him not being a max player in the open market, but then I remembered Gordon Hayward got $120 million. And so
that's
now
a good point.
Now I don't know. You know, like, I believe with you.
It only takes one asshole, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. It only takes one asshole.
But you get what I mean,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Like, but Rudy Gobert might also, you know, and I'm not, I don't want to do a ranking thing, but like, he's like a 20th, 25th best player in the league. Like, just the way that the salary cap works, those guys are getting max contracts. That's how it works.
Yeah, so, I think Shaq is looking at him like, this guy is a glorified Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah.
And nobody would have ever saw Dikembe Mutombo in his heyday as in the same stature of a Shaq, of a Robinson, of an Olajuwon. Right. The kind of players that Shaq feels like at the center position who should get paid, mm-hmm. right? Like, he's a Dikembe Mutombo. He's an Alonzo Mourning. He's a nice defensive minded.
Which, by the way, is a Hall of Famer.
Anchors your defense big. But also, for sure. Yeah,
he's one of the best pick and roll centers of the modern era. Offensively. I mean, he really is.
Is he?
Very, very skilled as a role man and as a screener.
Is he?
Skilled as a role man?
Why hasn't he ever absolutely. Done it in the playoffs, Dave? If he's so damn good
this?
At it.
Are we still doing
yes,
this?
Yes, we're still doing
until he does it in the playoffs, probably. Minutes.
Well, does he win a title?
Dave, no, just catch a basketball. Yes, I'd
the slander is going to still be here. It's not going anywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
But
as me and Waz, as me and Waz have been told, we won't have the last laugh.
Let's circle back to this in May or June. They're not going to make it that far, but we'll circle back.
I'm pro Rudy Gobert getting that money from Utah. I think they had to do it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But again, I think it's a great regular season contract. I think it's terrible for the playoffs until proven otherwise. And I think that's just going to be what it's going to be. One of those things of until it doesn't look like, and he played pretty well against Jokic in that series, right?
Oh yeah.
He played pretty well.
He played him head. Yep.
As a Jazz fan, what would satisfy you out of that deal? The championship is honestly, number one. If championship is a ceiling.
I think multiple trips to the conference finals, probably you're like, all right, it was worth it.
Yeah, I think that's what you would want to see. And ultimately, I think if you're a Jazz fan, you're realistic that a lot of things have to break your way for you to win the championship the way the NBA is set up. A lot of things have to break your way as the Utah Jazz in order to win a championship. So, yeah, like Zach said, hey, man, take the team to the freaking seventh game in the second round. You know, let's get our juices flowing. Just thinking, oh, man, maybe we could have been a step from the conference finals. But as it stands now, look, if I'm a Jazz fan, I'm happy. I actually really like this team. I think they're fun to watch. I think they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs. But, you know, ultimately, they're not going to be better than the Lakers or the Clippers, dare I say it.
I think it's obvious here that Shaq, he doesn't really embrace centers. He hates on basically every good center NBA has had.
Dwight Howard was really fucking good, and he hated Dwight.
Dwight Howard, he'll criticize Joel Embiid. He'll criticize, obviously, Gobert this time as his punching bag. And
I'm Team Rudy on this one.
I think it's obvious, Gobert deserves a lot of money. He's one of the best defenders in the league, if not the very best, especially during the regular season. But I kind of do feel, Shaq, that Gobert is just so limited. And you can't throw him the ball. He's not a guy who will ever space the court. He's not a great post-up threat. And then defensively even, he has some trouble sticking with guys on the perimeter at the highest of basketball levels. And like we said, it doesn't always matter. He's going to be great. He's going to help the Jazz win a lot of games and even win playoff series. But I do kind of feel, Shaq, that there's just a lot that he doesn't have in his game, and it does hold the Jazz back in some ways.
I think in terms of what their pathway to elite success is, and I think we can pretty much all agree with this, Gobert sets their floor very high. And anything above that is going to be completely dependent on Donovan Mitchell.
That's not a bad way
to look
at it.
I'm with you on that, yeah.
And I think that's a good – for a team – for a franchise like the Jazz in that market, that's a good gamble, right? I don't think it's going to pay off with a championship unless Donovan becomes an elite player, which I do think is possible. I don't think it's likely, but I think it's possible. But I think that's probably where – and if you're the Jazz small market team – looking to be competitive. They're always trying to be competitive every year. They've only tanked once, essentially. That's with your philosophy. And it's the whole okay, we'll just stick around. And then maybe someone, gets hurt, or maybe something breaks our way. Right. Whatever that
is. But not just that. You can't lose Rudy because you might hit on another Donovan Mitchell in the draft. Drafting where they draft, potentially. You don't have a great chance, but maybe you hit on another guy. And that's how teams like Utah. You know, that's how they win.
Right, and look where they got. I mean, they got Rudy 27, right? They got Donovan. Yeah, at, what, because 13?
If you lose Rudy and you get that guy, now you've lost Rudy, and now you got to find that other third guy.
Yeah.
And you know you're not signing that guy.
Right. And you're probably it's not tricky. Trading for him.
You know who looks great for them? Mike Conley. He looks so much more comfortable now than he was during his first season with them.
He's moving well. So good. He's moving well, and the stroke looks amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Conley's going to be so much better for them now that he's had a year in that system, now that he has had a year of playing alongside Donovan Mitchell. Like, it must have been really tough for him. With the Grizzlies, he was really their lone playmaker for a lot of those seasons. And obviously, Gasol did a lot of playmaking, but from a perimeter standpoint, so much of the burden was on him. Then he went to the Jazz last year, and Donovan Mitchell's the guy. And so I think people underrated how much of a transition that was going to be for him, but I think he's got it now.
And he also hurt his hamstring in like December or something like that, right? And then that's just a tough injury to come back in season.
Yeah, for sure. I just think he raises their ceiling too if he can continue to play like he has early in the season.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
We got a new game that I have two different names for, so we can decide which name we want it to be. First name option, we play Playoff, Way Off, or Layoffs. Okay? Or this also could be known as...
Oh, I like that.
Postseason, Ghost Season, or Roast Season. So which one do we like better?
I like Playoff, Layoff.
Playoffs.
Yeah.
Playoff, yeah, way, like off playoffs, okay. Way off or layoff. All right. Yeah.
So this is going to be...
Because now we're firing guys, which is completely insensitive and inappropriate.
Horrible thing to do is to fuck with someone's job, especially during these times. But all right, whatever.
It's the internet. I was going to say, luckily, everything economically is stable.
Yeah, everything's stable again, so we're good. Okay, so let's do this as, I guess, what expectations could be after the first 2 weeks, all right? So the Atlanta Hawks will be our first team. And let's just say not as a team that could make the playoffs, because they've had a better start than I think maybe anyone actually anticipated, just in terms of like they're really winning games. Let's do this as a potential top six seed in the East, like avoiding the play-in tournament. So for the Hawks, Waz, I'll start with you. Playoffs, way off, or layoffs?
Playoffs. Y'all know I'm a Trey TL head on this pod.
Trey TL-ian?
I'm a Trey TL-ian. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I like that one. Good job, J-Bone.
Appreciate you. Stole that from the internet.
No, but I think the Hawks are definitely playoffs, right? Like, I think Trae Young is clearly going to be an MVP candidate. They've just gotten so much better from, one, replacing non-NBA players who got heavy rotational minutes, and some of that were their rookies last year who just sucked because they were rookies and all rookies suck, with competent, above-average NBA play. And I think Hunter just looks way better this year. Like, he's just made a huge
Hunter looks so good.
Improvement. Yeah.
He barely looked like an NBA rotation
player.
Dude,
he's doing stuff off the dribble now, which I thought he was just going to be literally a catch and shoot, you know, 3-and-D with the barely three type of guy. But he's making plays with the ball in his hand. I like how Cam Reddish is looking. And I think his defensive potential is a bit underrated because he was known as some type of scorer coming in. I just think Trae Young looks incredible, bro. Like, incredible. So playoffs all day.
Does everybody agree with Waz? Is anyone going to say way off or layoffs that we need to start firing?
I agree with Waz. No, I mean, honestly, you know, you said it. I didn't think it would click this fast. I also thought that, you know, they were going to start Gallo. I had no idea what they were going to do with John Collins. They look really good, and it got good fast. And I think that that's why they started Reddish and Hunter in particular, and are bringing Bogdan off the bench, because those guys have been working together during this entire hiatus and all that downtime they had. Clearly, they put in work. They look amazing.
Yeah, right, I still doubt their defense is good enough to do anything of substance once they get to the playoffs.
They're not going to be.
But that offense is scary, and I'm really impressed.
Capella looks good as hell, too.
Yeah, Capella looks good.
They all look good, and I think it just goes to show, like, the value of having maturity on a roster. And like Waz said, the depth on this roster is just so much different than it was last year. Like, bringing Gallo off the bench sometimes, like, okay, like that's tough. And I didn't think they were going to be able to kind of work Collins into this. I really doubted that he was going to be a big piece of this team, or at least like nearly as big a piece as he had been in the past. But they fit him in. Trey has been unbelievable. The young guys look good. Like, this is a team that's dangerous, and they're dangerous when they get to the playoffs too, because that offense could be awesome. That offense is going to be really tough to stop.
I still have questions about Collins, but yeah, I'm going playoff here for sure.
Trey better than everyone thought? I feel like he had a lot of criticism last year for someone who averaged 30 and 8 assists or whatever.
No offense.
I didn't give him enough credit.
Nerds who are like, oh, but his defense. Like, shut up, man. That team was never going to be good. That team was never going to be good last year. Of course he was going to be bad. What he did offensively was stellar, especially when everyone knew he was getting the ball every single night, because their backup was Jeff Teague at one point. They pulled him off the scrap heap. Like, that's how desperate they were for another ball handler on that team. It's like, oh, all right, let's bring in Teague. Let's bring him back.
The
like,
level of competence, the only other competent guy in the backcourt was Huerter, who was hurt the whole damn year. Yeah. It was just pure rubbish.
Yeah.
Huerter.
But see, I didn't give Trey enough credit last year. Like, I thought part of it was that just they were at blowouts all the time and teams weren't as focused in. And I thought because so much was on him, like, he just had kind of artificial stats, but they're not artificial at all.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be the question of, is this dude like a looter and a riot type of thing, right? Like, Kevin Love got those questions. Devin Booker, you know, people could have questioned that early on when he was getting 70, right? And that team was garbage. Like, guys over the years, you know, there are plenty of players who they get those questions, and once they get a little bit of competent players around them, it shows that, like, oh, no, these guys do get those numbers on better teams, right? And I think Trey's just the latest of those guys. I think, I think if they hadn't had success early on, Bradley Beal would have gotten those questions. But the fact that he and Wall were together, like, I just think that you're always going to get that, oh, those stats are empty because that team sucks. But I do think there's something to the fact that, like, he did it. He did it in a very efficient way, especially considering the volume. And to be able to do all that when everyone knows we just got to stop that guy tonight and this team's going to fold. Like, I think that's hard to do.
He's shooting 12 free throws a game.
Most importantly, what's it going to take for you guys to walk back the Luka trade being horrible?
Oh, it was horrible.
I mean, now hold on. What's
happening? No, Waz is just trying.
That's still not a great trade.
Let's not pretend like it is. I'm kidding. I just wanted to get Zach upset.
I don't do trade grades.
Yeah, I think I gave him both an A for that, but, you know, Luka's way better.
Let's find out 15 years from now.
Luka's way better, which is fine. Trey's still amazing.
Right.
Trey's still incredible. All right, let's do this one. This ought to be fun. This can fold in a conversation I know Waz is dying to have. Playoffs, way off, or layoffs, your Golden State Warriors.
Trey?
Layoff.
Whoa!
Oh, he's ready to fire people. Whoa. Get rid of them.
Whoa!
Yeah, who are we firing over there?
I mean, Steve Kerr, maybe.
I don't think we're firing anybody, but I think that this team can't afford to drop and have a losing record in the first 20 games.
Maybe the layoffs are part of that roster, because that roster's...
Because with the layoff, you get to that point, you start shutting guys down. You know, obviously, they took a huge gamble getting Oubre. He's shooting 4% from the three, which is something I probably ain't seen ever in my lifetime.
4% is almost impossible. I looked up the other day, Trey, is you as an adult has 1 in 25 odds of golf being their favorite sport, which is what Oubre is shooting from three. Golf as, your, as an adult's favorite sport. That's what he's shooting.
That is crazy. And also, you know, probably sending Draymond off. It's time. It might be time. You know, they hit the market and just go young and try to figure it out from here. But right now, it's just not working, whatever they're trying to do. And I think that, you know, Steph loves the game so much that he's just going to continue to try to play through it. And, you know, not really yell at guys, but that team's not competing right now. I mean, you know, Wiseman, he's going to get better, you know, but looking down the line, you know, they just got guys that are good character guys in the locker room and just going to play hard. But I don't think they're winning ball games in the West.
They're incredibly frustrating to watch because the players in that starting lineup, I'm pointing directly at Oubre and Wiggins, actively take away from Steph's greatness. Like, they have been unintelligent enough.
I got to quibble with something here. Wiggins is playing so much better than Kelly Oubre. I find it offensive he's being lumped in with Oubre. He's playing so much better than Oubre. He's not playing well, but he's playing so much better than Oubre.
As much as Oubre, so that's a good thing he's doing that.
But at the same time, like, once in a while, just wait for Steph to get open, guys. Like, it's not the problem with that team is, like, they don't realize Steph is infinitely better than everyone else on the roster, and that everyone else should just be bit pieces. They think they should make plays and stuff. It's irritating. It's so frustrating to watch. And I think part of it is that Steve Kerr needs to just scrap some of the old stuff that they used to do. And granted, it's tough because some of that stuff makes Steph great.
But man, you can't run this high IQ offense with a rookie center, Oubre and Wiggins. Like, you just can't. Like, they can't do the same stuff that they were trying to do.
The short training camp really is hurting them.
And not knowing Clay was gone until right before training camp.
Yeah. Right, yeah. But they also, they're not putting a lot of talent on the court every night. Mm-mm. That's the number one thing that's killing them. We can talk about the execution. We can talk about the scheme being too complicated. But the truth is, they've got less talent than everybody else. The Clay injury is not helping them. Oubre playing like, I don't know, Devontae Graham when he first came to the NBA. Yeah, it's rough. It's gonna be bad. I really want to see what happens with them after a second season where they're essentially tanking. I feel like they're gonna have to make some changes, because part of this is because they haven't really drafted all that well the last few years.
They never really developed any young guys. They obviously Draymond.
Look at the swings they took.
Was a second round, you know, type of guy, but
Smiley
like
Geach.
Yeah, but wow, that was like Damian 8 years Jones. Ago.
I know, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I remember when people were calling what's the kid from Long Beach? They were calling him the next freaking, you know, Kevin Garnett his rookie season, and like, you know, whatever. That's neither here nor
there. Jordan Bell?
Yeah, Jordan Bell, yes.
I never heard that. When did they call him the next Kevin Garnett?
That is reckless tonight.
This is the tough thing to do, though, Waz. And this is how the Spurs were able to pull this off for so long, right? The hard part is to get the guys like Steph Curry, your Tim Duncan. And then the other hard part is to build around them and to sustain it for a long time. But you got to draft well. And it's hard to draft well at the back end of the first round.
Yeah,
it's
really hard. But see, so here's the thing with Golden State. I think if they had Clay this year, they would have been good enough to be your seventh seed that people somehow think this team is good enough to be. And they would have seen what they had and been like, all right, we're going to go into next season able to attack what it is that we need with this group of guys who we have, because we've seen it for a season, and it's like, all right, this is not a brand new, but it's a new iteration of this thing that we've been doing for a while, and they can go out and do that. You take Clay out, and it's like, it's a burning house, man. I'm sorry. Like, before the season started, I'm watching this team in preseason, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get shot creation from Steph and nowhere else, like reliable shot creation. I mean, like, and nowhere else is that ever happening. So you're not going to have a good offense. So what, you're telling me this team's going to be, what, top three in defense? How? You're not going to have a top three defense. How is this team supposed to be going to the sixth seed with a bad offense and a bad defense? I don't, like, I just don't understand how that's supposed to happen. And, you know, it's bearing itself out. They just don't have the horses, man. And, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But y'all not making the playoffs. And y'all never was once Clay went down.
I think things will look a lot different once Draymond is healthy and playing big minutes, because he'll be taking away minutes from guys who don't really deserve to be on the court. And he'll just give them that second level of playmaking and just another smart player and great defender. But, like, and this is a problem they had back in the, like, even when Kevin Durant was there, it started to be obvious that they didn't have enough shooting around Steph and Klay and Kevin Durant. Like those guys did it all. Yeah. And now Klay got hurt and Steph's the only one left and KD's gone and they still don't have any shooting anywhere else. And it's like they don't have shooting, they don't have intelligence, they don't have defenders. Like, man.
But other than that, it's going great.
James Wiseman has he's shown flashes, though.
No, I think Wiseman's going to be good.
Yeah, he's going to be good. He's not right now.
Right, exactly. Right. He gets
Steph
lost
Curry's
going to
be 37 yeah. years old and playing on the PGA Tour.
This is the wild thing is, and obviously a big chunk of this is the fact that Steph has been shooting horribly so far. Not just for him, but just in general. Shooting 32% from three on 11 attempts. But they're 30th in three-point accuracy. Oof. And it's only above 30% right now because of Andrew Wiggins' performance.
Yep. That's and Wiggins does this every year, right? Like, you have a 3-week period where he's just splashing threes. And
right,
this,
but here's the funny thing. It's like he's shooting 37% from the right. field. It's 41% from three, but he can't make a shot around the basket right now.
They have Stephen Curry and they're dead last in offense right now.
Yeah.
That's almost impossible. Layoffs.
Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Layoffs. All right. What about now? We are recording this before the Warriors play on Sunday night against the Blazers. So I don't know. Maybe they went off or anything. But we're also recording this when it's halftime of the Denver Nuggets Minnesota Timberwolves game. As of right now, the Nuggets are up 7 on a Wolves team that does not have Karl-Anthony Towns out there. So playoffs, way off, or layoffs? Your Denver Nuggets.
Oh, playoffs. I think they're fine.
Playoffs.
All right, fine. Let's do it as a contender then.
Ooh.
Okay. That's more
the status of contender.
Because right? Here's the thing, way right? Off. Like Jeremy Grant, like losing Jeremy Grant hurts them more in the playoffs than it does in a regular season.
Right.
Losing Torrey Craig hurts them for both. But the Jeremy Grant, when they're really going to feel in the playoffs, when they go up against Kawhi and LeBron and the guys that Jeremy Grant has to guard. So they're going to be a playoff team, but they're not a real contender anymore. They're going to have to figure out that wing defense because right now they got nothing.
Yeah, I think the troubling thing is, and look, it's going to be different because, one, just the complete situation of this season as is.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And that, yeah, you're playing home games, but you don't have the crowd. But like, they played almost all their games at home so far, mm-hmm. right? And they've looked bad. Mm-hmm. Like they like yeah. they don't stop anybody.
There hasn't been much of a difference actually in scoring differential between home and away, which is part of why this season's been so weird to start. So I don't know if it's actually going to hurt them to go away or not.
Yeah.
I think that this is more just figuring out who they are and how they're going to play. Can Jamal Murray be the guy that he was in the bubble? Doubtful, but can he be like 90% of that guy? Probably. They need to figure that out, but it's just, you know, it's early.
It's real early. And when you watch the game, sometimes they just decide to do the Jokic and Murray two-man game, and it looks just as crazy potent as it did in the playoffs, right?
Yeah,
like,
you can't
I'm not
it.
Worried yeah, about what they stuff, do on yeah. offense. Yeah, they gotta hunker down and figure out the defense. And, you know, Jokic is never going to be Bill Russell.
And it's not because
he's not going to do that. But
Waz, and it's not because he's not trying this year. He can't even say that. He came in. That's disrespectful to Bill Winnington.
What did you want to be, man? I'll tell you that.
My goodness.
That little elbow jumper. But Jokic is trying, man. Like, he showed up. I mean, he's in the best shape of his career, I think.
He looks good.
And so, and he's playing, like, he's actually efforting defensively. He's making plays defensively, but it's just that the basic stuff that he can't do that you need out of a big. Millsap has been good, but, like, they're really missing Grant right now because there were a lot of times where Grant was able to come and help at the basket. So they got to figure that out. They need more from Michael Porter Jr. defensively. And he's getting better.
He's getting better, but that defense has been predictably bad. They play mm-hmm. a lot of guys who just aren't good defenders. They need to get so much better on that end of the court. And Jeremy Grant is out there showcasing himself in Detroit, and they need him.
All-star buzz.
They need him.
And, showcasing himself.
I said way off. I said
Jeremy Ariza out there.
I said way off, but I think that offense could be awesome if Jamal Murray is close to what he was in the bubble. Awesome. Porter Jr., I mean, he's averaging 20 on like 57% shooting or something early on in the season. He's been super efficient. He's like just born to score. And Jokic, obviously, just incredible offensive player. I think their offense gives them a shot in most matchups. If they can get like an average defense, and I'm not sure they can, I mean, then Jokic, Murray, and Porter might be good enough offensively that they'll be dangerous in the playoffs.
All right, how about this for a top four seed in the West? And Trey, we'll start with you for playoffs, way off, or layoffs. The Phoenix Suns for a top four seed in the West.
I'm going to say playoffs. Because it's a weird season.
Yeah. Well, here's what I like about Trey is like Booker and Chris Paul have not really done a whole lot in terms of just like
no.
they're going out there and having amazing performances. Like their role players are all doing everything almost.
Well, yeah, it's just the overall culture and chemistry that most teams are trying to get when they get
it's people. There for them.
And it seems like they just already have yep. it. And then also their role guys are blossoming in their roles. So you got Mikal Bridges stepping up, playing exceptionally well. You got, you know, Javon Carter howling, you know, hounding people as soon as the ball come in and guys make an extra play and they're enjoying playing with each other. So, you know, at this thing, they can surprise, you know what I mean? Because I know a lot of people came in saying that Dallas would probably be number four. And it hasn't been that in such because obviously, you know, without Porzingis and maybe Doncic coming in out of shape and, you know, it's a lot of ground to cover. So Phoenix could creep up.
They benefited. Yeah, I mean, it seems like they may get there just kind of by default because some other teams are scuffling a little bit to start. Like,
you know what, Dave?
Portland, I think, is going to get better as the season goes on.
Yeah, I think Portland's
I think
fine.
Denver will get better. But Phoenix is, like Trey just pointed out, they're coming in looking like a team that's already connected and playing well together. They may bank some of these early wins and have a really good shot at a top four in the West. It's still going to be hard, and I would even say unlikely.
Portland? Yeah. You mentioned Portland, and Phoenix reminds me of that three-seed Portland team mm-hmm. from a few
yeah.
years ago.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still like Portland and Utah better than them. Obviously, obviously, the two big dogs in LA, I think, are going to be rubber stamped into that top four and be above them. So Portland and Utah, like what they're doing, what I'm seeing from them, I think they're going to do just enough to keep them off. So I am a way off. But, man, the Suns have been my favorite team to watch so far this season.
They benefited as much as anyone from that bubble, man.
Like, I mean, they didn't lose, and they ended they ended up freaking saying, "Look, we're going all in on that group that played so well for that." What do we call those games? The seeding games for those seeding games, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, and so you know, the management rewarded that play with saying, "All right, let's invest in this and try to make it even better," and that you know the results have borne out. Like that was a good idea.
13-1 over the last 14 games, Waz. They've only lost one time since March.
I mean, that's impressive. That's a stat right there.
Yeah, that's crazy. They've only lost once in 11 months, huh? That's crazy.
All right. First 2 weeks of the season are the most fun.
Last one for playoffs, way off, or layoffs. Your Tampa Bay Raptors.
Playoffs.
Wow. Layoffs.
Ooh. Ooh, layoffs.
It's looking bad.
Playoffs.
I'm way off.
He's ready to launch Pascal Siakam into the sun.
When they get James Harden, don't change y'all.
Well, so that's the thing, right?
Okay. All right. Now we're talking.
So it's the Harden trade.
It's Harden for Siakam and picks.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Probably more than just Siakam.
Yeah, they probably might end up having to give up OG too. Well, no, he can't get traded, right?
He can't get traded.
No. They can't trade OG.
Damn.
Neither can Van Vliet.
Yeah, Van Vliet can't.
But it's either that or teams are going to start calling about Kyle Lowry.
Oh, but what if you sent Kyle Lowry, right? And then you got back like an Eric Gordon or somebody. Or maybe a PJ Tucker. And you throw PJ into that mix and you get another draft pick out of it.
I love a team that has Van Vliet and OG next to Harden to bulldog the guards and let Harden do his, you know, his Harden thing on defense.
There's got to be a rule, though. We can't have James Harden living in Tampa Bay. You got to wait till he goes back to Toronto. And I know the Toronto nightlife, but I feel like Tampa.
Doesn't Tampa Bay have the most strip clubs per capita in the country or something like that? Am I making that up?
Portland.
I was going to say, I think it's Portland.
Tampa's strip clubs probably have a different style and culture than Portland.
They all look like something from the set of Thunder in Paradise.
Hey, Rockets related, I just want to give a hand clap to John Wall.
Yeah.
He's great, man. Yep. He looks so good.
Yep. He does.
Well, so that's the thing, right? If the Rockets just don't trade James Harden, that's interesting. That team is interesting.
I don't think he ever buys in, but I'm with you in theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always more interesting than the Westbrook stuff because John Wall actually is a really good passer. Not that Russ sucks, but Wall is an elite passer.
Yeah, Wall's a playmaker, guys. Right? Yeah, like exactly. Russ is a passer, Wall's
exactly.
a playmaker.
Exactly. Right? Pairing that with Harden was always going to make it a little bit more interesting and spicy because of the nature of the playmaking of those two guys. But, you know, if Harden's still in his feelings, you know, then he's going to have to do the shaky dance.
I mean, sore ankle is interesting all of a sudden. I'll say that.
Oh, man.
No, he actually did hurt his ankle toward the end of the previous game.
Do we think Pascal Siakam is good enough to be a centerpiece of a trade like that?
Former All-Star. I am unsure of.
That's a good question.
He's out here punching stuff out of frustration.
Because he was trending like negatively throughout every month of last season, right? Like, he started out super hot and then it just kept getting progressively worse. Yeah, and then he was terrible in the bubble. Yeah. Right? Like, he just never had his footing. I don't know if he had his legs. I don't know what was going on with him. He looks so bad. And then to start this season, like he looks terrible.
It's like the Raptors have regressed to what people thought they were going to be last season.
Right. And yeah.
Everyone thought they were going to struggle and Siakam would be inefficient. And it's like, like, oh, this is what was supposed to happen last year, but didn't because they had a great run.
Right. And now it's, and they also put out the league's best defense last year, right? Yeah. Like pound for pound, you know, as far as defensive talent, they had it. And so that you could mitigate your weaknesses on offense by, you know, getting so many stops and not always playing in the half court, right? Where you don't have.
But they had the worst half court offense in the league last year.
And that defense helped. It's worse this year. Like, I mean, it's.
Right. And they're not getting those transition opportunities. Yeah. Like, they're just a worse basketball team. And so that's why I think, I mean, clearly there's a move to be made. Kyle Lowry is on an expiring contract. So if they're not bringing somebody in, I would expect them to move him out.
Man, can you do that though? Like, he's so beloved there.
I mean, it's the business, though.
Yeah. You can do it. Especially when the team is sort of down on their luck. It's one thing to do it coming off of a season where you're like, yo, we won like 56 games.
They've done it when they won a title.
You know, we just won the title or whatever. But like, the team is kind of showing, like, fans. I noticed it with OKC fans once they was cool with Russ. What fans is like, well, he is kind of, you know, the team is, you know, it's okay. It's okay. They'll make peace with it once they see the product on the floor isn't what they've come to expect.
Man, I don't know.
I mean, he's about to turn 35 and he's making.
These Tampa fans are just different.
But see, if I was one of these fringe sort of knocking on the door guys, Kyle doesn't really fit in Utah, but I think he fits in Denver with Murray. Obviously, he fits with the Clippers, who've been needing a point guard for 5 years now, or ever since they traded Chris Paul, I should say. I think if you're one of those type of teams, I think Boston should kick the tires on them. I just feel like
if you could move Kemba for him, and he's the bridge to Peyton Pritchard as your starting point guard, like that's. Koozie 2.0, baby.
Oh, Lord. No? Oh, my goodness.
All right. That's going to do it for Playoffs, Way Off, or Layoffs. We'll have another edition another time if I remember it. Or next time we'll do postseason, ghost season, roast season. Who knows? You can get that any Monday on the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic Podcast Show. And, of course, check out the rest of the week, Tampering, Hoops Adjacent, Point of Contention, Nerdish She Wrote. Make sure you check out No Dunks, the team-specific shows. Subscribe to The Athletic to get the best sports coverage out there on the internet. For Trey, for Waz, for Dave, for Jay, for Jade, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked on The Athletic Podcast Network.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.